Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, and on today's episode, a child believes a religious ghost is outside her front door. A shadow man in a hat whispers to a listener in the night. A late grandfather is trying to keep his family together. And a theater ghost is still very active in the production of plays. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. After the program, we're going to be embarking on a new project of sorts for something on your show, Junkin' with Jenny, and we're going to attempt to create a wall.
We are.
Now this is kind of one of the bigger things that we've undertook. A lot of the things on the show that we're showcasing so far and that we've done in the past are, accent wall or take a piece of furniture and kind of redo it up or something of that nature. The structural thing is kind of new.
It is new, but I think back to our very first project and we thought that was huge the first time.
What was it?
It was when we decided just on a whim one day to yank all the carpet out of the basement at the last house and to put down vinyl planks.
Yeah.
I knew how to do it in my mind because I had, worked in flooring for so long, but actually doing it is totally different. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, might as well try out on our basement.
Yeah. And it's interesting because the next episode that we're doing of your show, which will be posted fairly soon on your website, which is junkinwithjenny.com. The next one is called, I believe, the peel and stick episode is what I called it because there's so many things in that episode that are talking about like flooring and peeling and stick and just tiling that is peeling. It's easy stuff you can do that you didn't know. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. That's Jenny's show. You can see the results of this on a future episode as we embark upon that. On this show, the phone number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com, where you can always email me your audio file to send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com to get your stories to us. So there you go. That's how it works. Of course, you can follow us on social media on pretty much anything. We are out there. I'll grab the sheet because some of these I forget what's what. Facebook, we're there. Twitter at Ghost Story Radio, Instagram at Ghost Podcast, and we are on Snapchat as well at Ghost Podcast. I like Snapchat. I don't do a whole lot. I do like one post or two posts a week with the show. But I love the stuff that our listeners send us because it's always interesting and randomly spooky and a lot of video. So anyway, 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our first story today. Jennifer writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. I have many stories to tell of things that have happened throughout my life, but I'll just share a couple of things that have happened to me. By the way, I should have known you were from Wisconsin with the name like Bruschi. I'm from Appleton, and I recently heard you mention Tom Mahoney. From WBA, I think he, George Graffis is who I mentioned.
Okay.
But Tom Mahoney was the meteorologist forever on the competing station, WFRV.
Okay.
But if you're from Appleton, these were like the meteorologists of the era in the 90s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Tom, I think, has retired several years back, and George was the last one, but there you go.
Okay.
Regarding my most recent experiences, I must give a little background. I'm disabled now and rely on the power of a wheelchair most of the time. However, I can stand there and have been several times where I felt a hand cup my elbow as if to help me, as to get out of my wheelchair to hold my shoulder, and I'm standing in the kitchen to reach a higher cabinet. I've never been afraid of it, as it seems the spirit is trying to be helpful. I have also had experiences with disembodied footsteps of what sounds like children running past my bedroom door laughing. When I was 7, growing up in an older home, I was coming down the steps from upstairs into the living room. At the bottom of the stairs was the front foyer. As I was descending, there were several members of my family sitting in the living room to the left of the stairwell. It was summer, so the door was open, and as I walked down, I stopped in my tracks, and I could see through the front storm door what appeared to be Jesus floating with, what is this, Sephram at his shoulders?
I thought you would know that.
I don't know what that word is. Seraphim?
I guess.
I don't know what that means. At his shoulders and each of his feet. Why don't you Google that? And
I would if I had my phone.
You don't have your phone. Well, I'm going to Google it right here because I'm curious as to what it means. Dun, dun, dun.
I figured you would know because I don't.
A seraph is a type of celestial or a heavenly being in Christianity and Judaism. So it's kind of like angel. It's another way of saying like an angel type.
Okay.
Type thing. I've just never heard him described that way.
Okay.
It shows me a graphic and the pictures are like, okay, I get it. I'd never heard that used in a sentence. Or if I did, it was one of those one just like this where I'm like, I don't know what that means. And I just moved on.
Okay.
I felt as if it was turned, as if I was turned to stone. I just couldn't move. I desired to speak to me, but he just smiled. When I finally came with the rest of the way down and into the living room, my former brother-in-law, who was about 20 years older than I, was sitting extremely still, staring out the front door. I watched what he was saying and hoping for Jesus to give us an explanation, but he just finally disappeared. Being a young child, I waited for somebody else to say something, as I had been accused of having an overactive imagination. Finally, my brother-in-law was explaining what he had just seen, and I was amazed as he explained exactly what I had seen, except right down to the color of the robes and how the Sephram looked. No one else in the living room had seen it, so I was so thankful that my brother-in-law had seen him and could describe exactly what I saw. To this day, I've not come across the reason that happened, but remember the feelings and the overwhelming feeling of peace and love that I felt during those moments. I also believe that this experience has left me with more of an open mind regarding the paranormal. Thank you for listening to some of my stories, and I look forward to sharing some others with you in the future.
What would project itself to look like that?
I don't know. I'm wondering if it was more of like an angelic type thing that was going through the room, a good positive. And this is, you know, especially if you're very religious, your first reaction, maybe you see angel type things, mm-hmm. that maybe this is Jesus walking through my room or something. But I would think if it's, you know, in male and figure, that's going to be what a lot of times you'd go to just instinctually. So I would think something positive, something along those lines.
I'm just curious because it's just the two of them that saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, we know that she's sensitive by what she's said she's experienced in her life. I'm assuming the brother-in-law is sensitive as well, but they're the only two that saw it. So yeah. I kind of feel like this is maybe something that was projecting that way.
Well, either projecting that way or just those are the only two that have that ability to pick up on it.
Yeah.
You know, that I think that could be it too. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Samantha says, hey, Tony and Jenny, I've sent a few stories in the past. In fact, just last night, I called in a story that's ongoing in my home. It's really become the creepiest thing that I've dealt with, and I'm not sure if other people have experienced the same or if there's any insight on how I can find out what started this and how to stop it. Here is the full timeline, better explained than my call. About 6 weeks ago, I started to hear whispers in my house. mostly at night after the kids were asleep, or early in the morning. It always sounded like they were just outside of my bedroom door. However, they were just far enough away, I couldn't quite make out what was being said. I ignored this, thinking it was just air moving through the house, etc., until one night, as I was falling asleep, I distinctly heard the words, "I need you to see me." That night, I dreamt of a tall, lanky, shadowy man with a hat on being over my bed, and I couldn't move or scream. I woke up with a cold sweat, feeling like I had run a few miles. The other night, while my daughter was at dance class, a friend of mine and I were talking. She proceeded to tell me that she had a dream of being in my house, getting ready to fall asleep in my bed. She'd never actually been inside my house, but she perfectly described the location and layout of my room down to the blackout curtains that I have. She said in her dream, as she was lying there in my dark room in the bed, she felt the covers being pulled off. And when she looked up, she saw a dark man with red glowing eyes and a hat. This man began to yell at her, "You're not her." Today, while eating birthday lunch with my baby, she tells me the last night a ghost haunted her. I ask her to tell me what she saw, and she said, "Oh, mommy, there was red eyes, and this lady was all black, but a purple dress, and I tried to come and tell you, but she wouldn't let me leave my room to tell you." Do you have any thoughts? I appreciate any help or insight you can give if you're interested, and I'll keep you updated on the situation and any others that come out of this extremely creepy house.
I don't know if it's the same thing and that's just projecting differently for the two of them,
mm-hmm.
but it sounds like they're both sensitive and they're living in a creepy house.
Yeah, I'm wondering about what the intent there is, if it's not letting the daughter go tell and...
Well, but is it not letting the daughter go tell, or could it be that the daughter had sleep paralysis and felt like she couldn't move because of this thing?
Sure, that's another way to look at it.
I mean... It's still not letting her, but it's not like
the
thing saying, "No, you can't go."
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Hard to know.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy story. Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that experience with us, and do keep us posted. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. I had a good dream story. That was actually called in by my friend Heather, who I used to work with at the radio station. It's on the Dream Meanings podcast, and that it should be out by the time this comes out, around the same time. The episode is called Premonitions, so you can listen to it there. It ties into paranormal pretty well. It was really interesting where I had no idea, but before she came to work at the radio station, which was roughly... 17 years ago,
mm-hmm.
She was, and she talks about the story, she'd have these weird, very vivid dreams of kind of just being, walking into this building, working in this room that had a clock on the wall, working with a heavier set man with a mustache, and having a giant picture windows in this room. Which perfectly describes the studio mm-hmm. that she ended up working in a couple years after she had this dream.
Mm-hmm.
And she also had another dream about being in this large corridor with very large windows and moving food. And her husband's in the food service industry as a catering business. And before he ever got a job, he had a job transfer, a job offer up in my hometown. And that's why they ended up moving up there from Illinois. They'd never been up there. So it's not like he had seen this or passed by this or anything. And this other vision that she had of the premonition dream that she had was of this hallway. That then one day she was just going down the hallway and realized, oh my God, this is the spot from that dream.
Mm-hmm.
But these were all years, you know, prior to ever even being there.
Oh, weird.
And she shared one other one that was really interesting that she said she just had the realization of a couple weeks ago, I believe. And it clicked to her what it was, and it was a very vivid nightmare as a child of being in a room staring at a screen. And this would have taken place in the 70s
mm-hmm.
When she had it. And she was just terrified by what she saw on the screen because it was so confusing. It looked like something out of a spaceship, something that was, you know, some sort of control panel that was just like, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And she said she had the realization the other day when she was in the studio at the radio station, and it was the automation screen for the music.
Oh.
And because it's if you've ever seen one of those screens, it's, you know, play buttons, it's little boxes mm-hmm. and everything for controlling what you hear on the air, mm-hmm. essentially. It has a log. It shows you all the music that's about to play, buttons for doing everything, loading stuff. And it's a fairly complex screen and a bit overwhelming to the person who knows what computers are sure. today and uses computers on a regular basis. But even more overwhelming, and I can see why it would be scary, to someone in 1975 mm-hmm. dreaming about this when there was nothing of the sort in existence. But seeing this, and then she connected the dots and was kind of like, oh my God, this is what I saw in that dream. Mm-hmm. She has, it's an interesting, she has a lot of good ghost stories, and she's been on this show before talking about them. But it's interesting with these dreams, and it's almost premonition-y. You know, as far as, and she's confused as to is it meaning it's I'm on the right track, this is a good thing, or whatnot, because she said she has some other ones that weren't so great and she didn't share them yet on the show. But she's kind of concerned about that because there seems to be a trend of prediction, if you will.
Okay.
But interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, you can hear that that full call and that full account on the other podcast, Dream Meanings. Just Google it we do feed it out in this feed still, but you can subscribe into its own feed by just searching Dream Meanings in iTunes, Stitcher, whatever you may be using. Lauren writes in, hello, my name is Lauren. I'm from Portland, Maine. I'm 22 years old. I've always had an interest in the paranormal, but myself have only had two experiences. To premise this story, I grew up in a very religious family from a young age. I was taught about good and evil, angels, demons, heaven, hell. Now I'm older, and while I've moved away from any religious affiliation, I still carry that with me, mostly because of this situation. I was born and raised in Western Maine, a small town called Carthage. It was a lodging town, extremely rural and hick, as one would say. My father was a logger. He co-owned a business with his father. When he and my mother got married, he built her a beautiful log cabin on top of a hill neighboring my grandmother. There was a little dirt road that had passed by her house to get to ours. He'd built it on an old farmland where there were rock walls and barbed wire fences all over the property. Every Sunday morning, my parents and I would walk to my grandmother's to have breakfast and then go to church together as a family. On this morning, I was walking next to my dad. I was about 6 or 7. We were about halfway to my grandmother's, and I remember looking to my left into the woods and seeing 3 to 4 small creatures. They were goblin-like, hunched and wrinkled with sharp teeth and small little eyes. They were trying to get through the barbed wire fence that ran along the road, trying to get to me. I started to scream and wrap myself around my dad's leg. My parents were confused as to why I had started having a meltdown in the middle of the road. Only a few years ago, I told them about what had happened, and they told me that I wouldn't stop pointing into the woods or stop screaming. My second story is from when I was 17. My family had moved to central Maine. We owned a camp in southern Maine, and often during the summer, I'd drive by myself to the camp to see my friends. One time when I was driving down, I was a little late, probably around 8. It was already getting dark, and it's a 2.5-hour drive. I was 3/4 of the way there, and I came up to a stretch of highway that was a straightaway. Up in the distance, there was a bridge passing over the highway. And as I got closer, I saw a huge, dark figure. When I say huge, I mean almost as tall as the bridge. It was towering. It didn't have any features. It was just a black mass standing under the streetlights on the bridge. Me, being 17 and terrified, I sped up and zoomed right by it. I still can't explain that. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry if it was a little long. I love your show. It's comforting to know I'm not the only one with these experiences. I do have another story. I'm not sure if it's as much paranormal as it is otherworldly. I'll write in about it soon. Thanks again. Enjoy your day.
It's been a while since we've had a story about the giant shadow figures.
Mm-hmm. We've had ones where it's giant, mini, everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like there was two extremes in that story. One where it's the tiny little goblin-like mm-hmm. things going through the field. And at the other end of it, it's the giant tall figure. It's weird.
Yeah.
Why, you know, the very disproportionate figures, entities, whatever. I don't know.
I don't know either. It's strange.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. I had a squirrel jump out in front of my car today.
And?
Literally leap. In fact, I had two animal encounters in the same spot today. There was a mailbox down the way that it's a big brick, you know, enclosure, and there's a mailbox in it, and then right below it, it's like a little like just opening within the bricks. And as I was driving up the road, all of a sudden, this squirrel literally leaps in front of my truck. I don't think I hit it.
Okay.
I turned around. I looked in the rearview mirror. There's nothing dead in the road.
It's stuck in your grill.
In theory, it probably could be. I didn't look there yet. I didn't hear any thuds or anything, though.
Okay.
So, and I didn't like smell squirrel cooking through
then
the...
Then you probably didn't hit it.
But it was like, it made me jump.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm like, oh, God. Because it was just boom. And I didn't expect a squirrel to come leaping out from the side out of this mailbox. It was just like, he must have been hanging out in there. And then, just on my way back here, in that exact same spot, not out of the mailbox, I don't know where this thing was perched, but I almost hit a turkey vulture. Like... With the windshield.
Oh, wow.
It, same spot, flew right out directly in front of my car. And there's turkey vultures everywhere around here.
Sure.
They're more common. I think they're probably the most common bird that's here. And they're like, if you've never seen one, they look like a vulture with a turkey head.
They're just regular vultures. I mean.
There's vultures that don't look like turkeys.
No, these are all same creepy turkey
really?
Vultures. Yeah. I mean, they're the classic Halloween looking vultures.
Yeah. And it just, and they're big. They're big birds. Do they, but they can fly where turkeys can fly. These things can get up in the trees because they sit there and they perch way high up and you're afraid they're going to come down and eat you. But this thing, it just boom right in front. I'm sorry. I had to like put on my brakes. Otherwise I probably would have had a cracked windshield from a turkey vulture. I wonder how common that is.
I don't know.
They seem to get out of the way for the most part, but I don't know. Same spot. Two animals. I'm not leaving the rest of the day. Max writes in, hey guys, my wife and I both work at the same place, which is a small embroidery company in Neenah, Wisconsin. It's like Northeast Wisconsin Day on the show.
It is. Email us when size opens up again.
Exactly. It's a great Thai restaurant there that I know is on hiatus. Neenah, by the way, for when we're playing Wisconsin geography, it's about 2 miles from Appleton. So. Uh-huh. Our shop attached to our warehouse, which is about 40,000 square feet, building used to be a storage facility for a bakery company. My wife and I always come in early to get everything set up and ready for the day. On more than one occasion, we've heard footsteps in the warehouse and doors closing on their own. This wasn't a big surprise to us because we both believe in the paranormal. However, when I first started working here, I was on second shift by myself. So after 5 p.m., I was the only one left in the entire building. My shift ended at 11 p.m. for 6 hours. In our workshop space where all the embroidery machines are, we normally have stacks of boxes for whatever product we're working. I was minding my own business, running machines, and every now and then I would hear the door to the warehouse open and close. Mind you, the door is at the bottom of a set of stairs that I can't see from where I am. So after about the fourth time, I went down and locked the door because I wasn't really in the mood to deal with ghosts at the moment. After lockdown by the door, I went back upstairs, and as soon as I reached the top door, the door popped open and slowly swung on its hinges. I was petrified. I stood at the top of the stairs looking down at the door and for a good 5 minutes before I could bring myself to walk back to my workspace. A few hours later, I was just finishing for the night and heard what sounded like footsteps. The workshop, for anyone that was there, would be able to see them from where I was, so as soon as I glanced up from my work, I saw a dark shadow move behind a stack of boxes at the far end of my workshop. My hair stood on end and every fiber of my being was screaming at me to get out of there, so I ran over to the boxes and nothing was there. The door was still open to the warehouse when I left, and this was a Friday night. So I went back the next morning to try and work out this because I like to try and debunk things. When I went back and checked the door to the warehouse, it was locked, shut, and there was a tiny handprint on the window.
So something's there during the night.
Leaving handprints.
And doors open.
It's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way to get any sort of, you know, residue off of a handprint? You know, like forensically, you know, does a handprint wouldn't leave DNA. Unless there's like a cut or something in blood.
Yeah, and there's probably not fingerprints on a ghostly handprint.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about is if you were to get some sort of sample or something of it, like what would it come back as? Would it, you know, is there, I would think maybe Prince.
Maybe.
But I wonder what that would look like. That would be really interesting, is if you could get, you know, a cop friend or something to go in there, get some hand, get the fingerprint, mm-hmm. run it, and see what it comes back, if it matches anybody or anything. Sure. Turns out to be like something, you know, somebody that died years ago, but their handprint shows up. That would be creepy. 855-853-4802, our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Continuing on, Keith writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Keith, and sent in a story about my haunted date. I decided to share some more of my paranormal experiences. These three stories happened at three different points in my life. They might be a little long, but I'll try to make them as short as possible. My first story happened when I was 7. It all started about a week before spring break, and I had a dream that my dad was going to die in a car accident. The dream is now a little fuzzy, so I'll try my best to recount it. I should probably say that I was a sideline watcher the entire dream. I was standing on the corner of a sidewalk in a four-way intersection coming from the interstate, and I could see the car my dad was in. It happened so quickly, from the light turning green to him pulling off the cross to the road, when I saw the car out of the corner of my eye not stopping at the red light. He crashed into my dad's car and the whole dream slowed down. I couldn't move or say anything. It's like I was forced to just stand and watch. Someone called the police, and when the ambulance arrived, I saw them take my dad and his co-worker to the hospital. My dad barely made it to the hospital before he died, and I saw him take his last breath. I woke up to tell my grandmother about it, and she told me to not say things like that and that my dad was going to be just fine. But a week later, she received a call that he had been in a wreck and was getting rushed to the hospital. By the time they made it, he had died. My second story happened when I was in elementary school. It was maybe a year or two after my first story. My grandmother had put me and my sister in bed, and me being that young, I was afraid of the dark. But somehow I managed to fall asleep and had a very weird experience. I saw nothing but darkness, and then I was suddenly sitting at the end of my bed. Everything in the room had just disappeared, and just me and the bed were left. I was surrounded by darkness, and I thought that maybe it was just a dream, until I looked up in the head of the bed and saw myself just lying there. At that point, I became scared, and I thought that maybe I had died, until I noticed that me lying in the bed was still breathing. I felt like whatever was going on lasted for a very long time. I was too scared to move because I could sense something watching me, and that combined with the overwhelming darkness just made me too afraid to move. Eventually, it ended, and I woke up scared, and I told my grandmother about it. In return, she told me to never let that happen again, that I was somewhere that I wasn't supposed to be. I've never had that happen again either. My last story happened recently in July. It was maybe a week or two after I had turned 20. My grandfather and I were on our way home when we were just talking. I just finished working an 8-hour shift on a Friday night, and we were pulling up to the house, and I saw a man. He was very tall and was wearing a blue shirt. I could see the facial features, but I couldn't make out who it was because of it being so dark outside. I saw him watching us as we pulled into the yard, and as we were parking, he disappeared. I asked my grandfather, "Did he see the man?" And he said no. The next day, I asked my grandmother about it, and she said that she knew someone that she could ask about it. She didn't find out anything until that Sunday, and I found out that she'd asked my godmother about it. My godmother told her that after my dad died, she would come drop off my cousins to catch the bus, that she would see him standing in the blue shirt in the exact same spot I saw this man in. She'd never mentioned this to me before, and I thought it was crazy how we both saw my dad over 12 years apart standing in the same spot. But as a fun fact, me and my dad are exactly 27 years apart. He was born in 1969, and I was born in 1996. In March of 2003, when he died, he was 33. And in March 2030, I will be 33 also. I hope you enjoyed these stories. I would love to get your thoughts on them. As always, keep up the good work, and I love the show.
I think I would be terrified to sleep.
Yeah.
If I had a premonition of somebody who I was close to who died.
And it starts happening on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that would lead to a lot of insomnia.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be too nervous and anxious.
Mm-hmm.
I don't envy anyone who has that ability. As much as I like to know things in advance, that's one of those things I don't want to know in advance.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you for sharing the experiences with us. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jeannie says, hey guys, just found your podcast and I love it. I have an awesome story of something that happened while staying at a haunted plantation last year. My husband and I got married last year in September. And we decided to go to Louisiana for our honeymoon. As soon as we got off the plane, we drove to the Myrtles Plantation in St. Francisville to spend our first night. What a gorgeous place. There's so much history and so many people died there tragically that we had a feeling it wouldn't disappoint, and it did not. We stayed in the General Bradford suite, which had a sitting room with an attached bedroom. Late at night, we were sitting quietly in our room trying to communicate with anything willing to communicate with us when, out of nowhere, we saw a ball of goldish white light starting to manifest through the doorway into the bedroom, hovering in midair. Take a string of white Christmas lights and form them into a ball, and that's the best way I can describe what it looked like. With the lights came loud buzzing sounds, almost like a bug zapper. It got progressively louder while the lights got brighter. This happened in midair, mind you. It lasted for 8 to 10 seconds while my husband and I sat there completely flabbergasted. There was absolutely no explanation because there was no source of power anywhere near where the manifestation came from. And we looked everywhere. My husband set up his phone facing where the lights came from while recording in the room in case it happened again. 2 minutes in, we caught an EVP of a woman's voice whispering, "He knows." We didn't hear and notice it until days later, but we were floored. I still have the EVP, and every time I listen to it, every hair stands up in my body. He knows. He knows we're here. It was such an intelligent EVP because it was caught 2 minutes into the recording. As the night progressed, I eventually fell asleep. My husband laid awake next to me, and when he heard above our heads loud boots walking around, we found out the next morning that we were the only people staying in the house that night. It was a Monday in September. The plantation is from the 1700s. You would have heard the creaks of the floor, the front door opening, footsteps walking in the door, going up the stairs and into the room above us if anyone was there. But out of nowhere came these loud boots walking around, and they just stopped. What a thrilling experience.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I think I'd be terrified.
What would you do if you were staying at a place and suddenly these things started happening?
I'd be pressing you for us to go somewhere else.
We'd have to leave?
Yeah, I think so.
Immediately?
I think so.
But what, it's so nice.
Yeah.
Look, there's a fireplace and sure. A nice kitchen and...
Yeah, that's nice until nobody can sleep because they're terrified.
Take a couple NyQuil things or whatever they are.
Right. I don't think there's any amount of sleep aid that's going to get me to sleep if there's boots upstairs and nobody's upstairs.
That'd be a great marketing campaign for one of the sleep aids where it's like, are you disturbed by ghostly images in the night and sounds? Well, now ZQuil can help.
Yeah, kind of like how they did the sleep like before kids. Sleep like your house isn't haunted.
Sleep like before kids.
Yeah, like you know how people, you had good sleep before you have children, and then you are randomly woken up during the night.
Sure.
Or you have a baby that's getting you up.
Yep.
So sleep like you did before you had kids.
Yeah, sleep like before you had ghosts.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that could work. Yeah, because I mean, there's so many times I wake up and I'm like, did I just hear something? And there is nothing.
No, nobody
said anything, but because you get so attuned to that sort of thing happening, then you're like kind of, I'm gonna listen a little bit longer just in case. And sometimes they're awake with something, but mm-hmm. I'd say it's about 50-50 these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'll have that where I'll go check and I'll think it's, you know, Harp or something making a noise and go, no, she's just sleeping soundly. So, I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Roxanne writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening to your podcast on my way to and from university for about a month now, and I must begin by thanking you guys for doing such a good job. Since I started listening to you guys, I've been thinking about my own life and if I'd experienced something paranormal or anything of that nature. I can't remember anything that was like the stories I've been hearing on your show. Then I remembered an incident that happened about 5 years ago when I was 15 years old. I don't know if I will call what happened a paranormal incident or a meeting with a ghost or anything like that, but so far nobody has given me a believable explanation. So anyways, I was on vacation visiting relatives back in our homeland, Iran. I was 15 at the time, and we had about 1 week left of our trip. we were at my aunt's house making dinner. I got an awful stomachache, which was normal since I have problems with my bowel function. But this was not like my normal problems. I instantly got a fever and started to feel extremely sick, sicker than I'd ever felt before in my life. I felt like my organs were being ripped out of my stomach. One of my aunts is known for having special abilities such as healing and bringing good luck. She did some sort of cleansing on me to remove the bad energy, and I could feel a strong pull even though she wasn't touching me. At that time, I did not believe in such things, but I remember clearly that I felt something happen. Sadly, things did not get better. I was in constant pain for about 3 days. I couldn't eat, sleep, or do anything. My fever got worse, and I started hallucinating during the few naps I could take. I'd wake up feeling a tremendous amount of guilt, like I had killed my own mother. I'd feel an extreme pain in my hands, like someone was trying to break my fingers. Finally, they took me to a doctor who told me I had salmonella, and he prescribed antibiotics. Thankfully, I got better and all my symptoms went away, except for one. When we got back home to Sweden, I could not sleep. Remember that I felt out of place, like my home wasn't my home anymore. When I went back to bed the first night back home, the same feeling of guilt and pain is the pain in my hands started as soon as I closed my eyes. I didn't sleep for about 4 to 5 days and got extremely depressed. I was prescribed sleeping pills and, with struggle, managed to sleep. This went on for a couple of weeks and slowly it got better. During that time, I went to a few different psychiatrists. As they told me I was stressed, which was a reason for my sleeping problems. Okay, fine, that's a reasonable explanation, but all the doctors and psychiatrists that I'd been to during these past 5 years have been able to explain the crippling pain in my hands. So here's what I think. When I was in Iran that year, I did something I'm not proud of. I have a little cousin whom I didn't like at the time. He'd always try to annoy me, and one day I lost control and hit him. That was a couple of days before I got sick. Even though the salmonella went away, I still had the whole hand and guilt thing. I did get better after some time, but every now and again, I feel the same feeling of extreme guilt and pain in my hands when I'm falling asleep. I also get blurred vision and the pain in my hands whenever I'm saying something hurtful behind someone else's back. It's almost like someone or something is making sure I never hurt anyone like that ever again. It almost feels like when a kid gets caught by their parent when they're doing something mean or rude, like the parent grabbing the kid's hand, but extremely harder. I don't know what more to say. It's probably just something psychological, but I thought it would be worth sending in. Keep up the good work. Roxanne.
That's interesting. It's almost like something attached to her, you know, when she did that, when she hit the younger cousin or whatever.
Or was her sensitivity opened up because of how sick she was, you know, without being in the hospital? Like, how close was she getting to death before getting treatment? And then that opened up, you know, the level of sensitivity to all sorts of things that are negative or positive.
Mm-hmm. It could be that. I just think it's interesting that there's the physical pain aspect of it. That's kind of different.
That is different than most of the time when we hear stories of that nature. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing. April says, first off, love your show. Makes my workday go by super fast. My story and one and only, as of now, experience is not all scary. It's more heartwarming. My grandfather was a farmer and unfortunately passed away 4 years ago from farmer's lungs. After his passing, I believe he was communicating with us through cell phones. A little while after he passed, my grandmother and aunt got in a huge fight, to the point where my grandmother would not even allow my aunt into her home anymore, not even on family gatherings. One day, out of the blue, my aunt calls my grandma's phone, and then they ended up talking things through. Come to find out, my aunt actually dialed my uncle's cell phone, and it rang into my grandma's house phone. She even triple-checked her cell phone to verify. Then, another night, all of us were gathered reminiscing about Grandpa, but then we got on the subject of our other uncle. This one, we all honestly cannot stand. I guess what you can call a bad-mouthing him. Then my cousin, Mandy's cell rings, and it's my grandmother's cell number. Mandy answers, and it's a complete silence, and then hangs up. Kind of freaked out because Grandma was out of the farm alone, so we thought maybe she had fallen or something. We called the farmhouse, and there was no answer. We called her cell, and no answer. Then we called the house again, and she answered. We asked if she tried calling Mandy with her cell, and she said no. Her cell was in her purse, hanging in the bedroom. That night, when I got to her house, I checked and her phone was exactly where she said it was. Thought this was so heartwarming. It was like Grandpa was trying to piece his family back together again. Thank you so much for taking the time to read this. Hope all is well, April.
I think phone stuff is kind of easy to manipulate, so I could see it being something like that. We're trying to keep the family together after he's gone.
I'm going to communicate in emojis.
Okay.
To family members when I'm dead. That's, you have to decipher what the hell the emojis mean.
Sure.
That's how that will work.
Okay.
But it's going to be the real old school emojis where it's not, you know, not like the little animated pictures that you can get now and that will show up by pressing the emoji. We actually had to know like the code to get the emoji, you know, when that goes back, you know, just like the colon smiley face.
Oh, sure. The heart is like the less than and, and number three or something.
And then before there was the little, you know, colored emojis that are now out there where you just press the emoji button, there was still code for some of those things. So it would actually bring you the colored image, but you had to know what the code was.
Okay.
So I'm just going to put the code in. I don't know what they are now, but I'm hoping I'll get knowledge of that at some point.
Sounds effective.
Like, what the? Comma, dot, dot? What? Ellie writes, and hey, Brewskies, it's Ellie in Oregon. I was so happy to hear my ghost story about the retirement home ghost being read on my first listen as an EPP. Anyhow, I have another story, a short story for you. I was listening to one of your episodes where you talked about a haunted theater and how seemingly common they are. It triggered a memory about when I was in high school. I was taking a drama class and we had a well-known resident ghost. His name was Sean and had been a dedicated drama student. He was going to be in the lead in that year's production of Grease back in 1986, but he had died tragically in a car crash. The drama department had made a gold star with his name in honor of him. It was a tradition to touch the star on the way onto the stage as good luck and a good luck gesture. It was a pretty well-held tradition. As our teacher was explaining the lore of the theater, she explained the story of Sean. She kind of went off on a tangent about all guys she's ever met named Sean are weird. Right when she said that, the stage lights dimmed really low and flickered. At this moment, she apologized to him and asked him to turn the lights back up. They went up almost as though it were as if it were staged. I'd have thought it was rehearsed a bit, only there was no one standing near where the lights were controlled. You can see the light controls from just off stage. All of us were sitting in a circle on the stage with our teacher. Sorry it's short. Love your show. Love being an EPP. Take care. Ellie in Oregon.
Do you think theaters are haunted because maybe that's the happiest place for some of the people that, you know, do act in plays and stuff like that, that they are so passionate about it they wouldn't want to be anywhere else?
I think that that has a lot to do with it. And then I also think the fact that so many emotions are expelled in those theaters that it makes it that much easier to be a ghost there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I wonder about other places, you know, just workplaces where like, oh yeah, so-and-so worked at this gas station years ago and he's still there. Like, did you love the job that much? Or maybe you did. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think you just have those two things going for you in a theater and not so much other places. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could even be plenty of other places that are just not necessarily, you know, places that everybody, you know, thinks about, oh, those people really love their jobs, but they do. You know, it could be any sort of anything, insert, you know, job here. But just not that common or that thought of as an actor or something of that nature. And you don't have crowds of people in there on a regular basis getting wound up.
Sure.
Either. So I think you probably have other places that are just as heavily haunted in businesses where people are very happy and content with their jobs and get a lot of fulfillment out of it. But maybe it's just a little more difficult for the haunting to occur because there's less of that battery, if you will.
Sure.
There to make it seen. 855-853-4802 is our number. Brooke writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I'm a big fan of your podcast and listen all day. Well, typing away at work. My story is about a shadow person who I believe to be the infamous Hat Man, after some investigation, that's visited me several times in sleep paralysis and nightmares. I'll write in later with my other encounters with him. My first encounter with him was actually when I was kept home from school for a day or two because of a stomach virus that was spreading like the plague into my classes. So this first day being home, nothing strange happened other than the usual bouts of sickness. By the second day, I was much better and didn't feel the need to stay home at all, but the school insists anyway so as not to spread the germs. Anyway, I was taking various naps throughout the day just to be sure to give my body enough rest, drinking plenty of fluids, and I wasn't on any medicine, so I know this wasn't a fever, dehydration, or medical-induced hallucination. But I woke up later in the night, can't remember when, I noticed my limbs can't move. This has happened to me before, so I get the gist that it is another paralysis fit. I usually don't see or hear anything during these, as I usually just fall back asleep when it happens and hope I won't wake up paralyzed again. But this time I was looking around, I saw this black inky mass with a top hat and long cloak sitting at my desk chair watching me. Tony? Jenny? This thing scared the absolute crap out of me. It radiated of power and knowing. I could almost feel as pleased it was that it was scaring me, if that makes sense. It slowly raised, and I felt myself unwillingly begin to fall back to sleep with total terror still flooding my system. The next morning, I woke very frightened from a dead sleep, peering all around my room to see, thankfully, that he wasn't there. But he left what I believe was a parting gift to give me validation. I had a top hat in my closet from a photography class project involving Alice in Wonderland that I never used again after. The closet door was closed like always, but my top hat was now lying in perfect placement on the seat of my desk chair, which is several feet from the closet. Never been scared in my life. I booked it downstairs in panic and asked my family if anyone had been in my room the night before. No one had. My mom wouldn't let my pet dog Maggie in for fear her barking would wake me. Apparently, she'd been up barking most of the night, and I had not heard it somehow. I don't know who the Hat Man is, but now he is not a I know he's not a positive entity at all. His visits are never pleasant, but this one was one of the worst ones yet, because this was when he wanted me to know that he knew I was scared and vulnerable, and I believe full-heartedly that he's thriving from it. Thank you for reading.
Okay, I gotta wonder, is the shadow man with the hat and the cape, do you think it's always the same shadow man that goes around, and or is it just a shadow person from that time of wearing hats and capes?
I don't know. I think it's more that time. I don't think it's like Santa.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know,
yeah, it's not like the same guy going around and visiting,
yeah,
most of our listeners that have, yeah, seen the Hat Man.
I think it's a period thing.
Okay.
If it's a human.
Okay.
And if it's not, it may just be what is being universally recognized as kind of a scary imagery.
Okay.
And it's something dark that's using that. That's my thought. It's pilgrim ghosts.
Pilgrim ghosts.
Well, that's what it's usually kind of.
It's kind of like boogity.
It kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
You know, when you in the depictions that are out there. All right, next one. This is, hi, Tony and Jenny. It's Tyler from Pennsylvania. Wanted to say that I've been listening to your show for a few months now and love it. I listen to it all the time, especially at work or when I it makes time just fly by. I know everybody says this, but I'm planning to be an EPP soon. I wanted to say I really enjoyed the story you guys had on recently about the person who went hiking in the woods and found a set of natural stairs. Made me think of some strange things I have found when walking in the woods, including a roll of duct tape and a jar of Vaseline just lying in the middle of the woods, as well as a small community of homeless people living in empty shipping containers. But that's a whole different story. Creep me out, by the way. The story I want to tell you is about an experience that I had living in my old home in South Carolina. I had a lot of paranormal things happen to me in that house, so I don't know if I'm sensitive or if it was just the house. My brother and I had been experimenting with the occult at the time, not sure if that caused the activity, though. Anyway, when I was about 16 years old, I was in online school, and so I was home all day. My parents both worked. My mom is a teacher. My dad is a senior master sergeant in the Air Force. They both worked long hours, and I was home alone a lot. One day, I was sitting at the computer, and all of a sudden, I heard our garage door open. And then I heard heavy footsteps slowly walking all the way through the house. Then they went into the bathroom in my parents' master bedroom, and I heard the door shut. First, I thought it might have been my mom coming home early, so I went to check, but of course, there was no one there. That scared the hell out of me, and seriously, I wondered for a minute if someone had broken in. I even went as far as to retrieve my shotgun and search the house more thoroughly, heart pounding out of my chest the whole time. I'm usually the first one to apply logical reasoning to anything, and I suspect as being paranormal first, but this was just beyond explanation. I have many other stories of paranormal activity in that house to tell you guys if you're interested. Thanks for all you do, and by the way, Tony, you're hilarious, and Jenny's insight is both thought-provoking And a perfect compliment to Tony. Thanks again for reading.
I think it's interesting when you hear people come home and nobody comes home.
Uh-huh.
We get that quite a bit. And I just, you know, I don't know, is it your mind playing tricks on you when you're home alone? Or obviously this was very vivid because he got his shotgun.
I think it all depends the state that you're in when you're hearing it. If you're just by yourself, and you're awake and you're doing something and you're hearing things, that's, I think, can very easily get into the world of paranormal. Mm-hmm. If you're kind of sitting there, you know, dazed out, either watching TV or daydreaming or kind of falling asleep, that's where I think you can get some more of those. And I'm saying residual, not in the sense of paranormal residual, but just residual sounds that you hear on a regular basis.
Okay.
You know, the sound of your door opening, the sound of whatever that is. You know, in everybody's home, there's a certain sequence of sounds that are associated with a person coming home or a person leaving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be the crunch of the gravel in the driveway, a door shutting, and, you know, whatever it may be. And I had that for a long time. For years after I had moved away at 18, every morning forever, I thought I would be hearing my dad leaving for work.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of sleeping, you know. I would be the first place I lived was downtown in the city. There's no gravel. It's, you know, sure. There's cars out there, but I would think I was hearing that gravelly crunch, my dad getting in his truck and then driving. It was the same sound I had heard for the last 18 years of my life, mm-hmm. every day. And then when that suddenly wasn't there, my mind started generating it. So I don't think it was paranormal, but I also wasn't necessarily in a awake state either.
Okay.
So I think it's just kind of depends.
Yeah.
Minds can be very powerful on what it thinks we're hearing, mm-hmm. especially when we're not quite all awake, I think. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please become an EPP. Help keep us on the air. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month, or you can sign up for a full year, get 1 month free and a bunk bed bill. Check that out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.